This is football. I'm Kevin Clark. Brad Spielberger joins in just 1 second to run through our free agency preview, the rosters that are most and least equipped for free agency. A couple of buzzy names in the free agent market. This year's guy who'll get way too much money that NFL Twitter will explode over. This year's Christian Kirk, basically, is what I asked him. Literally is what I asked him. I really enjoyed this. I learned a lot. I just got off of vacation. A lot of people, everybody's in different stages of NFL fandom, because some NFL fans, if you're fans of like the Bears, obviously, like the Jaguars, you're just sitting around, you're doing tape study for draft prospects on like December 30th. And if you're a Niners fan or you're a Chiefs fan, you're kind of like, wait, what? And then if you're like a Ravens fan, you just don't want to see football for a month. I know those kind of losses. Just you don't listen to any podcasts for a month. You might be, if you're a Ravens fan, you might be just checking back in on podcasts now. Unfortunately, a little bit later, there's some Ravens slander, unfortunately. Not slander, but just some doomerism as far as what they can retain on the roster and all that stuff with Brad. I really enjoyed it, by the way. But that's one of the things we touch on. So sorry to Ravens fans in advance. I will say, the one thing team building wise, it has completely changed since I started covering the league, which was about a decade ago, is the way the smartest teams approach free agency. When I started, it was at the beginning of when the cap was going up $10 million a year, which happened, I believe, from 2012 until the pandemic, and the pandemic is when it started to go down, and then it spiked again. Obviously, now we're just off to the races where it's huge every single year. The increase, because the TV money and the revenue and just the way it's the game has grown for everybody. But I remember the Packers, Ted Thompson, famously like obsessed with building through the draft and using free agency very, very, very sparingly for Charles Woodson, for Julius Peppers, guys like that. And I think Les Snead and the Rams were one of the first teams to really to draft well, because the Rams don't do any of this stuff without drafting Aaron Donald and a couple of other studs like that. You don't get Aaron Donald in free agency. You don't get him for trading 2 first-round picks. You get Jalen Ramsey for that. You don't get Aaron Donald, the best player in football. You get Matthew Stafford. But I think that the way they started to use free agency and understanding how much money you had to spend to augment, I think that started a trend around the league. It's a copycat league, so everybody just tries to, you know, sometimes there's trends that don't make any sense, like the Seahawks cover 3 tall corners thing, where we go, oh, we need our corners to be 6'3". Sometimes that's a little bit misleading. But I think there are some trends that everybody looks at from the good teams, and they say, okay, let's do this. I think that era of football, where the cap started to explode, there were good players reaching free agency, I think we started to see a real shift in how teams are built. And I think now you just look at the Chiefs, for instance, 18th in percentage of money going towards rookie contracts, 20th in cash spending as far as rookie contracts go. They are 7th in the league in what I would call elite, or not what I would call, what over the cap calls elite contracts. So Mahomes is number 1, obviously. Then Joe Tooney, free agent. Juwan Taylor, free agent. Travis Kelce, next, draft pick. Justin Reed, free agent. And then, unfortunately, MVS after that, free agent. Bad signing, but still a free agent. And I think what teams are understanding now is to draft the pillars and the role players. And by the way, you can also sign role players, especially on special teams. Like, there's a real inefficiency from minimum contract guys who can fill holes. But what teams understand is, and this is something, no point on this will be better than what Marcus Spears said on the show last week, which is that the Cowboys stand pat and they get Brandon Cooks and they say, we're all in, we're taking a big swing. That's not all in. Every single team is all in every year and the Cowboys are not it. Every single team that can win the Super Bowl is all in every year and the Cowboys are not among that group. That's a better way to phrase it. If the Cowboys, and it's, I'm, nobody drafts more all pros than them, but let's just look at their cap figures. Okay. Dak Prescott, number 1, Zach Martin, number 2. They are, by the way, 3rd in percentage of elite contracts in the NFL. 32% of their money is tied up in two players. 32% of their players, of their money, excuse me. So Dak Prescott, Zach Martin, 1-2. Then DeMarcus Lawrence, CeeDee Lamb, Trayvon Diggs, Michael Gallup, Terrence Steele, and then Brandon Cooks at $10 million. And they've got to go out and change the way that they spent. They've got to go be aggressive in free agency. They've got to start making outgoing calls. That's what all in means. It means taking your roster and saying, this is what we do well, this is what we don't do well, and then spend your way out of your problems. Don't sign reckless contracts. Although, by the way, the Cowboys do that with like Zeke Elliott. Like the problem is the reckless spending has been on players that don't deserve it. And by the way, Zeke Elliott was a great Cowboy, but he just obviously that deal immediately started to bite them in the behind. So that's how the best teams spend. I mean, for God's sakes, the Bengals used to not want to spend money on anybody. And their top three players right now, obviously Burrow, draft pick, but then Hendrickson and Orlando Brown. Every single team that competes for a Super Bowl spends like crazy to fill holes. That's modern football. That's modern roster building. And that's why we brought in Brad Spielberger to break it down. Here he is.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Brad Spielberger is here. He toughed out watching me walk around my house with the phone, unsteady cam, trying to fix my internet. That internet has been fixed. He's with PFF. He does, I mean, you're right, basically the only writer on the site right now, buddy, because you do their free agency, you do their salary cap analysis. Very few people talk about rosters better than you do. What's going on, brother?
I appreciate you. You know, just recovering from Vegas still and getting ready for Indy next week.
Indy. I'll just say this. You've been before. I don't need to give you any advice. And I sometimes younger writers say, hey, any advice on the combine? Because the way the combine works is everybody you need to know is there. That can be to your detriment sometimes. They also want to be with each other themselves. Like GMs do not necessarily want to have a 3-hour long dinner with you unless you're like one of five media members, of which we are not. But my number one piece of advice, you will get time with these folks. Nurse light beers. That's always what I tell young beat writers. Nurse young light beers, because you do not want to be the guy on IPA 6 saying like, man, you guys really should have upgraded a wide receiver this year. Because that's not what they want to hear. That's not what they want to hear. All right. And also, by the way, every time I give young writers that advice, I see them like 3 hours later just with a
Tito's and soda, just
IV. Yeah, exactly. And IV hooked into their veins of just straight whiskey. So anyway, that's all I can do is give the advice. All right. So we're going to go through free agency and kind of what this is going to look like. I can't believe Tuesday today, the 20th, the day we record this, it's already the day of franchise tag opening. Like there's an old story, Brad, about how Nick Saban got angry 1 year because winning the national championship cut into his recruiting time. But like, if you're like Brett Veach right now, or you're Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, you're kind of like, wait, what? I have to start now?
It's pretty insane. Yeah. Especially for the Chiefs, who have some guys, you know, Legarius Steed and Chris Jones that might fall into that category. And the crazy thing too is now, because the schedule is so condensed, we don't know the salary cap yet. So there are teams that have to make a franchise tag decision that don't actually know the value of the franchise tag. And yes, they can work around a discrepancy of a couple $100,000, but it's funny nonetheless.
It's insane. Why don't we know the – well, I know why, big picture, we don't know the salary cap. But like, what are they waiting for?
they're still kind of counting up how much of a boost Taylor Swift gave to, you know, all the ratings and TV money. So they gotta factor that in.
Yeah, of course. We got just late breaking. It's like the Nielsen's. It's like you can get the overnights, but then you need the real number a couple of days later. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to go through the team's best and least equipped to go through this free agency period, where they stand, where their rosters are. I want to start here before I get to that. Feels like, and maybe this is just recency bias, it feels like this is a really good free agent class, and there's some real franchise-changing guys, which is not necessarily the truth this time of year.
I agree with you. I grade it every year. It's always depressing, of course, when, you know, we just talked about franchise tags and some of those come through and make it a little bit less exciting, but I still think we are going to see, and to get into a particular a little bit, defensive line, interior offensive line, like some starting caliber, you know, franchise-changing guys, which you don't always see. So I agree. I think it's a good class.
Does that just happen, Chance? Are players trying to find their way to free agency a little bit more? Is it teams drawing lines in the sand? Like, or is this just sort of coincidence? I mean, so some of them are like, you know, obviously the Chiefs have a ton of talent. It's hard to lock up Chris Jones that long-term a couple of years ago. T. Higgins, you know, number two receiver. So it's hard to kind of, and when you're planning for Ja'Marr Chase plus a bunch of, free, you know, some of it's going to be happenstance, but some of it's also just going to be the way we change spending money.
Yeah, I think we saw some contract year, like not breakouts, but some players that had really good contract years. And I think a funny thing that I do now when I talk to some of our team clients is trying to decipher, is it a guy having a phenomenal season because he's chasing a bag, or is it a guy who just took steps and got better and like we saw his game develop? And I won't give an example in the first category, but like for me, you know, and underlying PFF data, Josh Allen in Jacksonville was already this caliber of player. The sack numbers just followed. Justin Madubuike took a legitimate step, but he always was a high effort, high pursuit guy. You saw him make, you know, backside run tackles and stuff like that. Christian Wilkins, kind of same thing. So I think it's a little bit of that too. Just a lot of guys in the traditional flashy stats, it finally aligned with their kind of underlying, you know, production metrics.
Yeah, and also I also feel this always happens every single year, but you always have to see where the market is set for different positions, because sometimes things don't increase the way. I mean, quarterbacks are always going up, right? But sometimes a tight end, Gronk, will sign a deal, and then for 4 years, nobody can catch up to that mark. Wide receiver, we saw that a little bit. I think it was the Antonio Brown era, where a little bit where receivers maybe we're underpaid because nobody had exceeded some of those deals. So you always have to see, and maybe this is with defensive linemen, like, you know, someone like Chris Jones being available, someone like Josh Allen being available, maybe we push even further ahead because that market has been exploding the last few years. So it'll be interesting to see. And L'Jarius Sneed, like if L'Jarius Sneed legitimately hits the open market, we might see a cornerback market, and you can maybe speak to this, a cornerback market we've never seen before.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like the last time a free agent reset a market, it was CJ Mosley in, you know, the Jets. And I think Bobby Wagner, you know, topped like a month later, but yeah, like it doesn't almost ever happen. I don't know if I predict L'Jarius Sneed to you know, top the Jair Alexander deal at $21 million a year, but I think he'll get in that range or you know, 18-19 potentially as an upside. Yeah, we don't see that very often, but that market has been super stagnant, like you're talking about. Not a lot of growth there. The Jalen Ramsey deal has kind of suppressed the rest of the deals, and it's been that way for, you know, 4 or 5 years now.
Interesting. All right, so let's get to the topic at hand. Best and worst rosters to equip. Number one, roster in good shape going into free agency. What do you got, Brad Spielberger?
All right, I should block the Chicago, you know, posters behind me. This is an unbiased opinion. It's an unbiased take. I really do think, you know, Chicago just positioned themselves to be in a phenomenal spot where they're not losing a ton of guys that I think they view as cornerstone pieces. I do think Darnell Mooney is a capable, quality receiver in this league. But, you know, you already make the splash trade for Montez Sweat. You go out and do that. You extend him. You get your DJ Moore. You draft a tackle top 10. Like, you kind of already hit on a lot of the premium position stuff. And now, you know, two top 10 draft picks, some more draft capital, but top five in cap space going into this offseason. They need interior offensive line. They need defensive line. It kind of all aligns pretty nicely with what they need as well. Maybe throw in a safety, some other spots. So I just think that, you know, resources available, but also the supply and their demand line up very well this offseason.
All right, so let's get into the Bears as currently constructed. The market for Justin Fields is going to be what?
I think a second-round pick and some change. You know, like a Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, that market. 2 and a 4, 2 and a 5, something like that.
Okay. And so then they obviously they draft Caleb Williams. So then what do they need? Like, what's the next step for them? And again, we're gonna use CGI to blot out the Bears posters behind you. Like, the holes they need to address over the next couple of months or what for them to actually compete in a, by the way, a division that is over the past 2 months of the season completely changed course when you think about what the Packers are gonna be able to do, what the Vikings are gonna be able to do, with the Lions. I mean, this is a really hard division where maybe 2 years ago it was gettable.
For sure. Yeah, it became a bit of an arms race. So I think for them, a number two edge or just a pass rushing three tech, someone to play alongside Montez Sweat. They have good, like, complementary pieces like an Andrew Billings, like a DeMarcus Walker, but I think you need another dude. And then center. Center is a glaring, glaring need. It just was not good enough this past year. And then I mentioned, you know, safety. Now they've cut Eddie Jackson, cleared a bunch of money there. But I think the trenches, which obviously is Ryan Poles, you know, he played offensive line for the Bears many, many years ago. And he talks about it all the time. I think you're going to see trenches for Chicago.
Has Ryan Poles done a good job or an average job? I don't think he's done a bad job. I don't think he's done a bad job. But I've heard some people say, okay, so he fleeces the Panthers last year. I don't know how much talent it took to fleece the Panthers last year. Like, the Panthers were willing to get fleeced. And by the way, part of the reason I think you wouldn't see a historical haul for Caleb Williams this year is he already fleeced the team that is the most desperate in football. And by the way, if there was a second one, it'd be the Commanders, and they don't need to trade up for one because they already have a quarterback position. So there's really no team that's going to say we're going to mortgage our future. But anyway, all this to ask, like, has Ryan Poles done a good job in the steps building this, or has this developed a little slower than maybe you thought?
I believe so. I think he inherited a really, really tough situation. One of the most bloated rosters in the NFL, a ton of dead cap or just older players. Look, like, was the Chase Claypool trade a failure? Yes, he'd probably tell you that himself. But I think if you look at the sum of all the moves they've made, I think he has done a good job, and I think they are pretty close now to taking that step. You figure out quarterback. I just don't think you're all that far away. We mentioned some needs, but it's not like I'm sitting here saying, like, they need a number one edge or a number one receiver or a number one tackle. Like, they have a lot of pieces in place. So, yeah, overall, I think he has. You know, I think the Claypool trade was a loss. Jalen Johnson's probably going to get a whole lot more money than he probably, you know, could have taken 6 months ago. But I think overall the process has been sound.
Yeah, and also the Chase Claypool trade, I've criticized him over and over and over again about that. But, like, a lot of good GMs have a total brick on their resume. Like, I mean, the damn Seahawks did that Percy Harvin trade and won the Super Bowl. By the way, they had the Jamal Adams trade, and they're still pretty good. And John Schneider, I think, is still a pretty good GM. Brett Veach has had significant misses, and I think he's one of the best GMs in football. And so sometimes, and I remember the justification for that trade at the time being like, well, you have to see what you have in Justin Fields. You have to see if he's the guy. If he's surrounded with talent, and Chase Claypool was the best overall. I think I ended up making that case at one point. It ended up being bad, but the problem is Chase Claypool was the worst fit of all time, both from a football perspective, and he just didn't seem to enjoy anything that was going on in the National Football League. I'm not even sure how he just did not seem like he wanted to be there. It was a brick, but I don't think you can. When someone has such a small sample size, people say, oh, you got fleeced. And it's like, well, you know what? A lot of good GMs. So I've come around on that not being like a historically bad trade.
And I think the thing, too, is he kept shooting. Like, the Montez Sweat trade was basically the same thing. A solo second-round pick. That one looks like a slam dunk so far. You mentioned DJ Moore. Robert Quinn for a fourth-round pick to get your wide receiver three, and he doesn't play. Also, fun fact for you, shout-out CHGO. But Chase Claypool is the last Bears wide receiver not named DJ Moore to catch a touchdown pass for the Chicago Bears.
Oh, no.
So it was a good trade. It was a good trade. It was a win.
It was a good trade. It was a good trade. Yeah. Lord, who was it before that? Mushin Muhammad?
Yeah, probably Moosen.
Moose.
Bernard Berrien.
Bernard Berry. We can just Marty Booker. We can just name guys. What's funny is that there's just not that. I mean, like, it's the Bears skill guys. There's a reason Devin Hester is beloved for scoring touchdowns. It's because if it wasn't for him, there'd be some real I don't even know how you would categorize it. There have not been very many exciting players to watch on the offensive side of the ball on the outside there. We've had Sweetness and some running backs and all that stuff, but Devin Hester filled a role. All right, let's flip it. Let's go be negative. Give me a team that is not well positioned going into free agency.
Look, they'll still be a good team. They're a good organization. But I think we're not talking enough about how difficult it's going to be for Baltimore to be even close to what they were this past year.
That's not what I thought you were going to say. Let's dig in.
Yeah. So I have them with the second most snaps played by pending free agents this past season. And when I take quarterbacks out of the equation using PFF wins above replacement, they had the most war generated by pending free agents. So I have 13 guys in my top 200 that were Baltimore Ravens this past year. Justin Madubuike, Geno Stone, Jadeveon Clowney, Kevin Zeitler, Kyle Van Noy. Like, I could sit here and just spout off pending free agents from Baltimore. Now, you know, they got ahead and signed Nelson Agholor, bring back Michael Pierce, like some good, you know, important role players. But yeah, they're losing a ton of snaps and a ton of good football players. Maybe they keep some of them, you know, keep Madubuike on a franchise tag or an extension. But they lose also Mike McDonald and Anthony Weaver is now the DC in Miami from that coaching staff. So I think that defense could fall off next year.
That's fascinating. Do you have a read on whether or not Eric DaCosta, like I remember Daryl Morey saying something on Bill Simmons' podcast. I think I was on like in college, but I think about it all the time where they were talking about Chase Budinger and he had left and Daryl Morey said, you know, the point of all of this is it's not to re-sign Chase Budinger to some huge contract. It's to find the next Chase Budinger, right? And like, I know this is a weird analogy and you probably didn't expect Chase Budinger to come up on this podcast, but it's more like Clowney was a value signing last year. And I think the point of the Ravens operation a lot of times is just like, let's find the next Clowney signing instead of just giving Clowney a bunch of money. Madubuike is the kind of guy who's going to command a ton of money because like Marcus Spears was on the show a couple weeks ago and he was just saying like, that's the kind of guy the Cowboys need who could make some real headway and interior pressure, stuff like that. Like these guys are probably going to get overpaid. The Ravens have other questions. Do we know if Eric DaCosta is going to be aggressive in trying to retain them or is he going to say, you know what? We found these guys. Let's just find the next version.
Since the advent of the compensatory pick in 1994, there is no franchise in the NFL that has earned more of them than the Baltimore Ravens. So that's their MO. Like you're saying, you know, you can go down Za'Darius Smith and like all these edge rushers they've had, Matthew Judon. We could sit here again and just rattle off names. So yeah, I think Clowney's a perfect shout. You sign a guy in August for like 1 year, three. Someone else is going to give him 1 year, nine, 1 year, 10, like he used to sign back in the day. And Baltimore saying, we already got the best we can get out of it. We're not going to chase, you know, what we got because odds are there's some variance. They are very, very good in that category. No question about it. I just think you saw career years from like half the defense. And I don't know if that's sustainable or repeatable. But yeah, their strategy is great.
The biggest loss on the list is Mike McDonald.
For sure.
He's the one that gave them that career year. And so yeah, that's also one of the, in the calculus, it's like, let's not overpay these guys because they might have just been Mike McDonald, unlocked by Mike McDonald. I mean, Clowney had one of his best years ever. And I always thought he was a little bit overrated throughout his career. And then you see his pressure numbers and you're like, okay, that was a good signing. I'm an idiot. But like, it's still, again, the point is to get those value signings and then find the next wave. But DaCosta has shown himself to be really, really good. They took a huge step forward. And if Monken had any game plan to speak of, they probably could have won that game against Kansas City. So whatever. Do you expect them with these losses to fall a little bit in the AFC pecking order when you consider just how stacked that conference is with the rosters?
Right. And other teams are going to be healthy. I didn't even mention Patrick Queen, probably going to get a huge deal. Yeah. So, yeah, like, look, Cincinnati's probably going to be healthier. Cleveland's probably going to be healthier. Pittsburgh could not have a worse offense than they had this past year. So that's just looking at their division
alone.
Hey,
don't you dare them. They will try.
You're right. Don't
threaten them with a good
challenge.
Time. Don't threaten them with a good time.
Yeah, exactly. If they're going to run it back with Mason and see what they got. I think you will see a lot of positive variance for other teams in the conference. Yeah, like I said, again, they're going to be good playoff team, but I don't know if they're going to be one seed by, you know, caliber team at all.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. And I think, by the way, we've all, you mentioned the Bengals, but like, I feel like we've all collectively decided to forget about Joe Burrow. Just literally,
yes, as a society, we kind of have.
I saw some top 10 quarterback rankings, he's just not on there. And it's like, you know, they would have been like the second or third best team in the AFC this year if Joe Burrow hadn't been hurt in training camp. And everybody was like, well, when he came back, he was healthy, he was bad. He was hurt in training camp. That's how training camp works. It comes before the season. So if you'd seen him with T. Higgins and that defense, and I mean, Jake Browning won a bunch of games. Like, yeah, I'm sure that they would have been good. And by the way, like, they lose Brian Callahan, but he wasn't the play caller. Lou Anarumo coming back, one of the biggest Like, no, he didn't get, he somehow just warps towards Steve Spagnuolo-dom, where he's just not even a head coaching candidate anymore, and but he didn't fail. Like, we just decided, we just all collectively moved on, even though we should have gotten Arizona last year. Anyway, but that's neither here nor there. Your next team set up well for free agency, Brad.
Yeah, the other side of the coin of the Montez Sweat trade is I think we're going to see probably the biggest spender in free agency will be Washington, which isn't always a good thing necessarily to be the biggest spender, but
Bruce Smith and Deion Sanders incoming?
Yeah, yeah. You got some like Andre Johnson, like 33-year-old Andre Johnson vibes coming in to Washington. Yeah. No, I think you're going to see like they're going to go after different edge rushers. You know, obviously, they don't want to keep the guys they had, but they have a decent nucleus there. They have the most cap space in the NFL. They are losing potentially Kendall Fuller and Cam Curl from that secondary, but again, could bring those guys back. They just drafted two young players, Emmanuel Forbes and Jartavius Martin. So I think they are going to spend a bunch. They have five top 100 draft picks, and I think they could very quickly become a lot more interesting than they've been the last 20 years.
Would you right now rather be the Bears or the Commanders?
I'll say Bears just because they're like, I think they just still look more like cornerstones, but I don't know, like Terry McLaurin, Daron Payne, and Jonathan Allen, like they're kind of similarly constructed. It's a good question, honestly.
That's why I asked it. Thanks, Brad. Now, yeah. Can you throw out some, just recklessly throw out some names for the Commanders that they might want to target?
I think edge rush would be interesting. Like a guy like Bryce Huff, bring in just a true like pass rush, specimen we've had the last couple of years. I think they'll go young. I think it'll be guys like that. So you look that direction. They're losing Curtis Samuel, so maybe they try to bring in like a Darnell Mooney or another receiving option potentially. And then I think you maybe do see secondary too. So do they make a splash, with one of the bigger name safeties potentially coming on the market? Do they go after like a, I think edge would be the big one though. Like Bryce Huff and that tier of player, I think is very interesting to me.
That's fascinating. Yeah, I don't know. My only thing about the Commanders going into this year, I hated the Dan Quinn hire. I hated the Cliff Kingsbury hire, just relatively speaking. I don't think they're awful. I don't think they should be not in the NFL, but I just think that you had this opportunity twofold. Number one is everybody should want to coach the number two pick in the draft with an ownership group that seems exciting. I know they want to make it the quote-unquote Adam Peters show. That was what Washington Radio said to me a couple weeks ago. But I think there was a bigger opportunity here for that roster. And then the other side of the ball, let's say you hire Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn should be able to sell, hey, be this year's version of Bobby Slowick on the offensive side of the ball, do well with the number two pick in the draft, and then all of a sudden you're head coaching candidate. That's it. And you should be able to get somebody better than Cliff Kingsbury, who I think was an uninspiring choice. So I don't know. I just don't know.
We'll have the conspiracy of the Caleb Williams connection to Cliff Kingsbury. That'll kind of carry us. As content producers, you got to appreciate that at least.
I get that, but is that supposed to help? Like, he didn't win he did very well at USC. I just don't feel like that if you're trying to do that, if that's your master plan to jump, to get to one, to take him. Like, was he so successful at USC that you just have to surround him with everybody? I just feel at that point, just hire Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
Seriously, I'd rather have Lincoln Riley.
You know, the guys want to leave the college. Yeah, no, I hear you.
Dude, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Chip Kelly across town is trying to get every job imaginable except the job he had. There's a lot of college coaches just over this whole thing, man.
The Chip Kelly one was called interesting. Yeah, just RPO, scam RPO with Drake May. I'm into it.
I'd rather have Chip Kelly than Cliff Kingsbury.
I think it's fair.
Also, Chip Kelly's in the Spagnuolo zone where he doesn't even want to be head coach anymore, even though Spags wants to, but like he's not going to get any actual interest.
Yeah. God, yeah, the fitness specimen, the fitness regimen and the diet and all that stuff, I think it was too fugazi for the NFL to handle.
Also, Chip ran out of ideas, and that's why Chip really. And then there was one press conference at UCLA where they lost, and he started freelancing, and he was like, "I wish I could run the wing T," and everybody was like, "What are you talking about?" Like, it just felt like you're talking about a guy who didn't want to be there. Like, that was Chip Kelly at UCLA. All right, more with Brad after this.
Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? Two words, Caesars Rewards. Every bet brings you closer to the types of benefits only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. It's not just an app, it's an empire. 21 and up must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537. Or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050. Or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. All right, anyway, let's go be negative again. Another team that is not well-positioned.
Yeah, the Miami Dolphins, I think, are in some trouble here. Another team that's already spent a ton on, you know, big-name players. You trade for Jalen Ramsey. They had four draft picks last year starting in the third round, none of which, I don't want to be wrong, but I don't think any really contributed at all. So, and you already are paying, you know, you got Bradley Chubb, trade for him, get a huge, give him yeah. a huge deal. I mentioned Jalen Ramsey. You're paying Tyreek Hill top dollar. Are you going to pay Tua $50-plus million a year? Then you have Christian Wilkins, who I mentioned, who is, you know, I think going to get a monster contract. Robert Hunt is, I think, going to get a really nice deal as a guard. Connor Williams, their center. Yes, he tore his ACL, but a really good player. Like, there's just, again, I could sit here and rattle off names. And, you know, Andrew Van Ginkle was a huge element for them once guys got hurt. There's so much talent. Again, I'll reference the same metrics. Third in total snaps. And third in total wins above replacement by pending free agents. And they already are in a bit of a tough cap situation. They are negative $60 million as of right now. And again, you can always rework things and all that, but they're in a tough spot. They have a good football admin group. They are smart people, but they have their work cut out for them, no question.
Christian Wilkins getting a huge deal somewhere else. Is that the implication there?
I could see a franchise tag, but maybe. I mean, last offseason, we had all those guys signed. Jeffrey Simmons, Quinnen Williams, everyone in his draft class get their deals done, and it never seemed like it got all that close with Miami. I know his pass rush productivity wasn't there, but of course, he has, 9.5 sacks this past year, something like that, which is, you know, phenomenal for an interior defensive lineman. So I think tag maybe, and they try to work it out, but there already seemed to be some resistance, and I felt like that market was one to capitalize on. You know, 22, 23 million is a ton, but Aaron Donald's still sitting there at 32 mil per year, basically, and no one's close. We'll see. He's interesting to me. I could be wrong. I think he might become available. We'll see.
What is, I honestly don't, the only analysis I hear of the Tua deal is, I don't know what they're going to do. And you know far more than me do about this, more than I do about this stuff. Like, what happens here? And like my line on this, and I talked to Dimitroff about this last week on this show, the only thing I would do, and it's the same thing with the golf thing, is I would get Mike McDaniel in a room and I would make him close the door and I'd say, how many guys can you do this with? And if the answer is I could do it with Drew Lock, then sure, make your decision that way. I don't think that's the case, but I think that's the way that you sort of gauge this.
Yeah, I think it's the way to do it. And, you know, either whether it's specific examples or just like give us a baseline, like a caliber of quarterback that you think if I had this guy from what I've seen, I could replicate what we're doing. I think what you do there is it's just you try to make it year to year as much as possible. So you're seeing now these like rolling guarantee structures and, you know, but still quarterbacks this past offseason, the big push. You know, once it became clear the fully guaranteed thing was not happening, you saw these massive early year cash flows and guys getting basically like the first three new years effectively fully guaranteed. But like a Jalen Hurts structure where it's like option bonuses every year and you kind of – they're not outs. You have to find a trade partner, which good luck with that. But more just there's a decision that you have to make each offseason to kind of protect yourself. That's how I would do it if I'm Miami. Again, easier said than done. His agent doesn't has no incentive to do that. But I would not be sitting there being like, yeah, 2024. 4, 5, 6, 7, we'll just have guaranteed without really much kind of wiggle room. I just, it's a massive risk.
Are the Niners in okay shape?
I think there's a reason you're seeing the Brandon Ayuk conversation. They're not in bad shape per se. You talk about guys that got over bad moves. I mean, trading 3 first-round picks for Trey Lance and kind of just figuring it out. They are not in a bad situation, but when you have the highest paid defensive player in NFL history, one of the highest paid tackles, receivers, tight ends, you know, we can go down the list. It just makes things very, very tough. I wouldn't be surprised if like a Brandon Ayuk or a Talanoa Hufanga, like if a good player doesn't get a deal, or if like you do see like a surprise, like Eric Armstead has 1 year left. Do they trade him or move on? Or Dre Greenlaw, like I know he just tore his Achilles, so it's probably a bad example. Yeah, yeah. But they're not in a bad spot, but they can't pay everybody.
All right, rapid fire. Give me a player that's going to get more money than we think in free agency. A guy that we're just going to go, wait, give me this year's like Christian Kirk, where we're going to be like, whoa, they gave him what? Like, help me.
I think I could see Jonah Jackson in Detroit get more money than people think. Even I personally am and lower on him than I know everybody else is, which means I'm wrong and they're not. But I think he could get, yeah, like I'm not saying sitting here saying I'm the correct one, but I just hear so many good things. He is a mauler in space. He's big, physical. Maybe teams are buying, kind of like a Juwan Taylor, they're buying more into the upside. He's young. He's athletic. He is, you know, there's some nastiness to his game. So I think he could get more than people expect for sure.
Interesting. The Dak Prescott contract's going to come down where? And when will it happen?
I think it'll happen, like, fairly quickly, you know, because they got to get to CD as well, and you want to kind of space out your gigantic nine-figure deals. I think it's going to be in the range of, like, $55 million a year. I mean, he came in second in MVP voting. Like, I know he had a bad playoff showing, but the leverage is all in their favor. You can't tag him because you did tag him twice, and the agents were smart. That was intentional. They made them, for the deal, first place the tag and then sign him to the original extension. So, yeah, like 4 years, 220, I guess that would be. And, yeah, I don't think it's going to take that long.
Last thing for you. I asked you this at Super Bowl Media Night. I'll ask you now publicly. I think the Chargers are going to win big, but I think they're going to have to take their medicine cap-wise. You came on the show a couple months ago. We made a big social clip of it. Chargers fans said, yeah, you're right when you said it's going to be a tough couple of years for the Chargers. So I think they're going to get through it. And they'll win big 3-4 years down the line. Now, having said that, nobody thought that Niners team in 2011 was ready to win. It wasn't a sleeping giant type of team. He took what was a mediocre roster and made it a good roster. I'm talking about Jim Harbaugh, obviously. And we look back now and say, oh, that roster was stacked. I don't know, man. Was people talking about Justin Smith being a franchise player when Jim Harbaugh took the job? He's a great player, high draft pick, but like Jim Harbaugh made that team tougher and they made that team maximize that roster. And Patrick Willis was a great, great, great young player, a tackle machine. Jim Harbaugh, that era made him a Hall of Famer. And obviously he's an offensive side of the coach, but the offensive side of the ball, but the way he hired the coaches, the way he instilled everything, the way he maximized Alex Smith, brought in Colin Kaepernick, that was special. So I guess from a roster standpoint, the question is how long until the Chargers can give Jim Harbaugh a roster that he can win big with? Is it 2 years? Is it 3 years?
Yeah, I hope he proves me wrong. The 13-3 would be insane if they did that. Well, that was the first year.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I think it could be 1 year. I think if you take your medicine, I think you just have a very down 2024. But all it takes is you hit on that, what, fifth or sixth overall pick this year. And then you said it too. Look, is the NFL more nuanced than advanced and technical and you have to be smarter? Sure. At the end of the day, it's 11 dudes lining up against 11 other dudes. And if they kick their ass, then you can win a lot of games.
Yeah.
And like, it's not complicated. So, you know, you have to add, obviously, I think the defense needs more toughness and more physicality. But yeah, I would say one down year. By 2025, I have not like Super Bowl expectations, but
yeah.
I'm not counting them out of anything.
We have a history. The Bills famously did it with the Doug Whaley signings. Chris Greer did it with the previous regime of Dolphin signings, of teams just saying, we're going to take all our cap medicine right now and we're going to accelerate it. I don't know. Has anyone gotten more than $70 million in dead cap in a year in the last 3 years?
Yeah. The Bucks and Rams this year were both around 80 this past year.
Wow. And then I know Atlanta was near there as well.
Yep.
And so teams are just like, you know what? Screw it. We're just going to do this. And the Rams are going to be fine now because they had to do it. And so it's the way to do it. I think the Chargers need to do it, make some tough decisions and go from there. Is there anybody real quick that you think is a clear cut on the Chargers? It's a huge name.
I think Mike Williams is going to be fascinating. I think he's the clear cut. And then if I'm them, I'm having calls about Khalil Mack, maybe even Joey Bosa as potential trade targets. I just
– Definitely.
You know, I think you have to answer – and Keenan's tougher because Keenan is like this franchise legend, but I'm not hanging up the call if they get a phone call.
I'm going to say something. Everybody but Herbert is
– He's correct.
Who's on a second contract. Just see what people say, okay? Brad Spielberger, thank you so much for coming on. Read your work at PFF. You only have about 100 articles out there. So
I'll beef it up.
Yeah. Keep it going. All right, man. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.